David, can you say your Chinese name for us again?
Yeah. Zhao Da.
Zhao Da.
Yeah.
And that's David. And Lily, what's your Chinese name?
Zhou Xiaoting.
Zhou Xiaoting. Okay, that's Lily. Falun Gong has only recently been in the news, maybe in the last 10 years in the West anyway. David, can you tell us something about the origins of Falun Gong? How old is it and who started it?
Falun Gong was introduced to the society in China in 1992 by Mr. Li Hongzhi. He's our master. And just in the past 7 years, you know, since Falun Gong was introduced out, Falun Gong was spread out all over China in an extremely high speed. You know, every single month you can find about hundreds or thousands more people, you know, start practicing nearly all over China, no matter north or south, east or west, in all the major cities nearly. And because Falun Gong, you know, emphasized the truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, it's based in the ancient Chinese tradition. It's ancient Chinese cultivation practice as well. It's very good for the people's mind, body, and health. So, you know, that's the main reason that why so many people started to practice, and more people was enjoyed to studying and practicing it. And I think that that's the, also the reason that why the government started to ban and persecution later.
We will talk about the government and what they're doing, but it's related to Tai Chi and it involves relaxation, but there's a philosophy. It's non-political and it's non-violent, but there is a philosophy of compassion behind Falun Gong. Or the other name for it is Falun Daf, is it?
Yeah. It's just based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion and forbearance. That's his philosophy. It spread rapidly. I started practice in 1995. I can still remember that my mother just got the book from one of our relatives. And she gave her many books and materials, video CDs, just for free. And then we go to look for some place to practice, some group. And there are many all over the city. And we found it. And I can remember that the first time I went to the, you know, we have group studying. We read the books. It's describe how can you do, follow the truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. And when I first go to the group studying, when I went in, they all applaud their hands and say, "Welcome our little practitioners, fellow practitioner." I was only 11 then. I felt that I was in a big family. Yeah, and then I found that everybody is smiling and they think about others.
Was this different to the way Chinese society had gone, perhaps under communism, that everything was so rationalistic? And everything was so cold in the culture, and they got rid of the old folk music and the nice ways of doing things, especially after the Cultural Revolution. And maybe it's just perhaps that Falun Gong was getting back to people's real human nature, back to the goodness in people.
Yeah, it is a kind of it help people to be healthy and help them to find their original true self. Now we're living naturally without thinking about how to get personal gain. Like we don't think about that. That's really relaxing. We still have normal life, normal job, but we don't attach to it. That's different. We can do all kinds of job and study. We do it well, but we don't attach to the results. Make us really relaxing.
Relaxed and chilled is the way to be. And to tell us, David, though, Falun Gong is practiced all over the world. And not just by Chinese, but why does the Chinese government dislike Falun Gong so much?
And, you know, before 1999, the government actually is not anti-Falun Gong, you know. Sometimes you can even find, the positive articles or, you know, interviews in the media. But just because the number of people who practice Falun Gong was increased extremely fast, so the government thinks, it's too many people. Too many free men is a problem for the government. You know, one of the main reasons is since the Communist Party in charge of the China and the education they give people is completely they don't believe in God anyway. You know, so you won't find any theory in any books in any school. You know, tell people, okay, the God is really exist in this world. They just tell people there's no absolutely no God in this world. And that's why, you know, they can control people's mind. They don't want too many people have the free mind to believe in the things they believe. Like, the, no matter it's Christian or Catholics or Muslim, you know, whatever.
For instance, Lily, is the media is so strong in China. And is that one of the means in which people's minds are controlled, is through the media?
State control.
Well, the media is actually controlled by central government, and the journalists, most of them, they don't actually write what they think or what they really see. They write what those officials tell them to do. Well, they help them to they just carry out their propaganda. They don't. Well, that's actually not journalism. Yes.
For instance, most Chinese people coming over to Ireland would never have heard of Tibet or Uyghur or some of even the Chinese government foreign policy or even domestic policy decision-making processes. But that's only an idea.
Do you disagree or agree?
And I agree. Actually, you know, before I came to Ireland, I never heard the real situation in Tibet. You know, what information I got about Tibet and even Falun Gong, it's extremely bad, you know, from the state control media. In a way I can say all the people in China, they were brainwashed by the government, by the state control media. Because, you know, at this moment, at this world, nowadays, the media was extremely very high-tech, very advanced, you know. It can cover every corner in the society. So you can't escape. You just can't. You won't have a choice. You just accept. Oh, you know, this, accept. That's yeah. You won't have a way.
And the pressure of conformity is still very strong.
You know, the Cultural Revolution. In that incident, or no, yeah. Whatever. And the government just control people's mind. They make people against each other. Well, yeah. Make friends and
divided people.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Family. They make them as an enemy. You know, and people, they're not thinking. They're not to think. Well, they can't think. Well, they just it become a habit now. Now they just accept what the media said, and they don't think at all.
Tell me, there's some oppression of Falun Gong at the moment in China, and there has been for since the early days. How easy is it for somebody to openly practice Falun Gong in China today?
Today is nearly impossible for the people to open practice Falun Gong. No matter outside or indoor. It's extremely dangerous if you practice outside. If you just sit meditation like me for maybe 10 seconds or 20 seconds, if somebody see you and make a call, the police will get there within 5 minutes, and you will be arrested, put in a prison directly.
I knew somebody, some of my friends, they just went to practice outdoor, and they were taken to the prison for a year, and their, you know, their coat was damaged because the metal button were cut out. They're really expensive. They ask you for money for the food, anything, and they don't offer you good food, you know.
Maybe some people in the government might be better off taking up Falun Gong.
Yeah, really, actually, many of people in the government, they did practice Falun Gong before the persecution. And when the Chinese family, the Jiang Zemin, who want to started to persecute, and none of them were agree with him. But he just do what he wanted. He didn't care about what others said. Actually, nobody want to go with him. I think it's better now because we... Falun Gong practitioners in many countries started to sue him, bring him into court. The justice of human war and morality and
hide.
Yeah.
Is there torture involved in some of the Chinese prisons?
Yeah, there was horrible torture and beaten and persecution happened in the labor camp, in the police station, in the prison, even in the mental hospital, in all over the place. Where you can find, they keep Falun Gong practitioners, where you can find the the badly tortured and beaten.
You're from Dalian, Lily, and you're from
Fushun.
Fushun. And they're both in the northeast of China. Now, these were two areas hit very badly by the privatization or the rationalization of industry in China in the 1990s. And a lot of factories were closed down in the northeast and caused a lot of poverty.
Yeah.
And what has happened to the people? How are they living in the northeast of China?
For example, 2 million people, you know, live in my city. And it's only a medium-sized city for China, you know. But it's 2 million people. And before I came to Ireland, that's year 2000. As far as I know, it's more than about 50,000 or something, you know, nearly 100,000 people lost the job because some factory was closed down, you know, and some company they can't surviving. The people is very hard to make living. And before they were sent back home, and maybe some factory will give them some money, but it's not much, you know.
How do they live? Physically, how can they live?
It's very hard. Some of those, you know, open the family business or start to do something else or try to find another job. But if, you know, the whole field, you know, the whole economic environment was bad, it's very hard. Even you try to find another way to make a living.
Lily, is everybody drifting down towards Shanghai and Canton and down to the south of China or towards Hong Kong and them areas for jobs?
Well, yeah, many of them did that, but they can't all go there. And, you know, people in city are okay, and those farmers,
nearly 1 billion people live in the countryside.
Nearly 1 billion live in the countryside. So that is like an 80% live in the countryside. And this is part of the problem, because the people in the countryside, Chinese government statistics last February came out and said that the massive divide, rich and poor, the poor people in the country were getting taxed heavier, and rich people in the cities, and there are a lot of poor people in cities too, but the poverty divide seemed to be very bad between the city and the country. And is anybody?
Yeah, it's really hard for the farmers, for them to make living there. They have to pay all kinds of tax. Sometimes I think few tens kind of tax. They don't earn many, and they have to hand all of them to the upper level, like local government, and even more, and they can't afford their children's education and such things. But fortunately, I heard that the new chairman in China, he's trying to reduce the tax gradually. That's his plan. Hope he can carry out.
This is a plan all over the world at the moment, to reduce tax and to lessen state spending, and that can have other repercussions too. But do you have any opinions on David, on what way you think that the Chinese government could go or should go?
I think, you know, for the new government, that they could stop the persecution, you know, but at this moment they are still living under Jiang Zemin, the previous director. Yeah. But he, you know, he still has the very big political power. You know, the new government is still, I think, living under his control. Yeah. So, you know, they can make some change, but it's not a revolution, I can say.
It's not true what they have at the moment, is because they've just legalized private property and given it a constitutional guarantee under the state. So now it's a one-party state, and it's basically a new form of capitalism, and there's no protection for the average labourer. Does anybody have any? Just about general working conditions in China, that people are paid very little wages, for instance, and
relatively they spend less because the things are cheaper. But yeah, they are earning less because, like my city is, Dalian is really developed. It's international and many foreign investment. But the profit, you know, doesn't seem to go to the. There are many foreign invest, you know, factories. I think they went there because the labor force is cheap, but I think it's too cheap. A worker, they worked in the factory for like 12 hours for a day, and they paid 400 yuan for a month. That's maybe 40 euro. No, I think 50 euro maybe. That's really horrible. But
it's like the human machine. It's like the Industrial Revolution. It's incredible how anybody could do that. But I suppose we'll close to wrapping it up. Apart from the corruption, I suppose, which is endemic in governments probably all over the world, including perhaps in Ireland, maybe. But apart from that, I hope you all enjoy however long you want to stay in Ireland, and let's hope it's for good. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Please remember, Falun Gong is very good.
Of course.
our cultivators, so I don't know many about politics, but I just hope everybody can listen to their heart, do what their morality asks them to do.